All right, it's back-to-back game day here on Real Kipper and Bourne. This is the Leaf Hour edition of our show. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandale, Jake the Snake Schultz. Here to dissect it all. We are live on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. Let's welcome him in from a very busy day. He was on assignment, started at the morning skate with your family, JB. Yeah. Glad to have you back on board.
Yeah. Thanks for holding down the fort yesterday, guys. I had a great day. Thanks to you guys for doing that. Thanks to the Maple Leafs for helping my brother and his wife have a good experience yesterday. Yeah, no, it was all good things. And all I have to say about the hockey game was, I'm glad we get another one tonight. It's a palate cleanser because,
let me ask.
Not the perfect end of the day.
Now that the Leafs were so sweet to you and they took your brother around and his brother's wife and you got lots of pictures, lots of players, you're going to come on and be like, ah, God, they played great last night. You know, there's just a couple spots last night where they could have been a little better, but I thought overall it was a good
outcome. Nearly a flawless show last night, in my opinion. I'll hear no rebuttals to that.
All right, before we get into great detail of what we saw last night and what we can expect tonight, we had a bit of a conversation here, and my guy, Sammy here, almost like laughed me out of the show yesterday because I suggested that this was going to be a little bit maybe of a coming out party for the Ottawa Senators to get back into a battle of Ontario. And he just laughed at me. He just said, you're making a bigger deal out of the game. And I'm like, Ottawa's going to come out and they're going to make a statement here. Mm. And he laughed at me.
Sam?
If that's the version of the events you want to live in, that's fine. What I said was that I don't think, I was scoffing at the fact that the Battle of Ontario is big and that it's a big game and that the first game between these two teams in November is a really big game. I didn't think it was that big a game. I didn't.
And at least today it feels like it was a big game.
Well, I think one team thought it was a really big game and the other team didn't. And I'll let you guess which is which, but I think it's pretty easy to figure out.
So I based it all on JB at watching the Montreal Canadiens embarrass themselves here Saturday night. Good on them. They went down to Buffalo. They found a way to get 2 points, hopefully turn things around. But I'm like, Ottawa knows the Montreal Canadiens laid an egg. They came in here last night, and it was a fork in the road for me into the season.
Yep.
You want to send a message that you want to play with the big boys in the Atlantic Division with the Boston, or maybe not the Boston Bruins, but Tampa, Toronto, and Florida, then you show you're closer to those guys than you are the Montreal Canadiens and maybe Detroit and Buffalo.
Yeah, we wake up today, Kip, and the Ottawa Senators are 4 points behind the Leafs with two games in hand. They got a better goal differential. They got themselves kind of back into the fight a little bit. And I'll say it was not even close last night watching that game from the jump. What stood out to me is a stat that I heard before the game started. So Pinto, Norris, and Stützle have been together for a while. But when they're all in the team, they've only actually all been in the lineup 20% of the time.
Yeah.
And when they're all in the lineup, they play at 106-point pace as a team. They win a lot.
And Pinto was out for, I think, 8 or 9 games.
Yep. He missed 41 last year with the gambling stuff. So they get them all in. They have all their centers. And they were ready for a game that the Leafs were not last night. And I think waking up here today, Allmark gets a shutout. It's tough not to look at the Sens and say, playoff team. That looks like a playoff team to me.
I made the observation last night on Leafs Talk, and I'll make it here again. There was no comparison between the forward corps last night for me in terms of whose was better, deeper, faster, stronger, more lethal. Like, they came in here, and you look at the Leafs decor, I think the Leafs decor as a whole is probably better, but without Austin Matthews, without Max Pacioretty, there is no comparison between the forward corps right now.
Sheesh.
Throwing Patch in there too, eh?
Well, the reason I'm throwing him in there is because you have to play a third line of Connor Dewar, Nick Robertson, and Pontus Holmberg, who gives you absolutely nothing. Fourth line, they're trying to hit or whatever. So if Nylander and Marner don't have it, which I think it's pretty fair to say neither of them were very good last night, then what do you have? You have nothing. Like, the secondary scoring is supposed to be McMahon, supposed to be Robertson, Holmberg, these guys that are supposed to... Domi, guys that are supposed to chip in, they ain't, and that's what it looks like. So,
Noah Gregor, Shane Pinto, Michael Amadio, Cousins, Gaudette, McEwen was the bottom six for Ottawa last night, and certainly got at least one goal out of that group and did a pretty darn good job.
Okay, before we get into more detail, let's just get an overview from Craig Berube and what he saw.
Well, not a good game, you know, for us. You know, there wasn't much good to talk about in the game overall. You know, it was just, we got outskated. You know, they wanted it more than us. That's the bottom line.
What do you think of that, Kip? They wanted it more than us.
Yeah, that's all he needed to start and end with. Was that, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's right. I think he's right, but it just feels like maybe a little reductive and too simple and kind of the answer we're going to get when they lose.
Yeah. I mean, let's just, before I get my overall thought of that comment, I'll revisit it. Remind me, okay?
Okay.
But besides of the, they just wanted it more than us, there is a real now concern for what you were talking about a bottom six that can't produce. And how quickly do you want to see some changes, either internally with the Marlies? So they called up
Steve's
yesterday. I think he's got 8-9 goals or 9-10 games with the Marlies.
Yeah.
I'd find a way to get him into the lineup tonight.
Oh, no question.
I'd take someone on the blue line.
Hockenpah's in, I believe, right?
Well, I don't think it's been confirmed.
We don't know if he's in or not, but
activated off LTIR,
he's available.
Yeah.
And so is Myers. You know, is Benoit struggling for you guys a little bit?
Yep.
So I think there could be changes, but I'm not sure if you're going to find answers there, but they're going to have to start shopping around here. And we saw a trade the other day between the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Washington Capitals that moved Lars Eller in. Mm-hmm. Is that something that might interest the Leafs to go find something in the next week or two to kind of shore up here?
Yeah, you think that's an option, eh?
I do. I think it's there's been enough games to understand that there seems to be an issue on the bottom six right now when it comes to scoring or creating.
Yeah, you know, obviously Matthews being out is significant, but they're also Kelly Yarncroc now feels like he's not coming back. He scored 20 last year.
Mm.
It was 20 last year or the year before. He might have had 15 last year, but he's in that kind of range as a depth guy who chips in. He's not coming back anytime soon, I don't think. Could be wrong on that, but
well, he's going to get a second opinion,
right,
on a sports hernia that doesn't exist. So we'll see how that goes.
Right.
But let's go to Berube on the lack of offense and how concerned is he?
Okay. Clip two.
Tonight we didn't have the puck, so it's pretty tough to get score any goals when you don't have the puck. They had the puck the whole game pretty much until the third period. You know, we gotta generate more attempts at the net with, you know, people at the net and creating offense that way. You know, I mean, we just didn't do a good enough job tonight. I mean, overall, it was just not a good game.
Okay. They didn't have the puck all night because you tell them to get rid of it.
Yeah. No, this is like such an everything's a nail to a hammer for me.
You want them dumping it in. And unlike the Ottawa Senators last night, when they did get it in deep, they got it first.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're starting to hear from Willie and a few others, the one and done. Willie mentioned it last night.
Yeah.
We were one and done. And it's, no kidding.
Yeah.
You get the puck and you get rid of it and you dump it in. And then you go into this north-south, mm-hmm. which is fine when you can go get the puck and then do what Ottawa did after they get it. And either start a cycle, get it back to the point, drive it to the net, sustain pressure, second and third opportunities. That's when you start looking like north-south works.
Yeah.
Not last night.
No. No, and what's really hard is like, we've had coaches on before and I've asked them, I think Peter Laviolette and Boudreau, you know, do you coach the way you want to coach or do you coach to your roster? And to a man, you know, everyone I've asked that to says you coach your roster. You can't. You know, it has to fit the guys that you have, even if you want to play a certain way. And that's emerging as a question for me is this roster able to do this north-south thing as effectively. So the Leafs now, to your point about dump-ins, dump it in the third most in the NHL, fourth most in the NHL. Three teams do it more.
Can you tell me which teams?
The Florida Panthers, the Boston Bruins, and I forget the third team.
Okay.
But Florida does it the most in the league. And then Sam Bennett and, you know, that.
Matthew Tkachuk
and those guys go and hunt it and do their thing. And even when they don't get it back, they get body on someone and it's part of their identity. You know, the Leafs, I don't know that it comes as naturally to them.
Well, I don't want Mitch Marner or Willie to dump it in and right? And so there's sometimes when you do have to, based on percentages and...
Sure, you got no options. The guy's standing up at the line.
Like, we don't want Willie to turn it over, like, in the first 40 seconds like he did at that blue line. But there's other factors that are involved. And that one was, hey, Morgan, like, where are you? Like, Willie's not the first superstar to turn the puck over 3 feet inside the blue line. They all do it.
It's not great, but it shouldn't be a goal against.
What matters is who's behind me.
Right. Yeah, no, totally. And that's, so because of that, I think it's related, but I wrote an article today on their lack of 5-on-5 offense. They're in the bottom half of the league in puck time in the O zone. So they don't have it as much, to Craig Berube's point, as they used to. And then here's the big one that stands out to me is the rush chances, Kip. They're 29th in the NHL in rush chances for. So they don't get anything off the rush. Last year they were 7th. And I don't know, remember Keith used to send the weak side wing across on the breakout so someone was flying the zone. Opposing D would back out, and if they didn't, you'd get a break. And if the puck hopped over a stick, you'd get a break. They had no rush chances for this year. So, you know, this roster, I don't know. They're very good defensively. The best they've been defensively in years. Best they've been under this leadership.
Okay, but you've had world-class goaltending, and you had world-class goaltending last night.
Mm-hmm.
If it isn't Stolarz, that thing's 6 or 7-0. Not 3.
It's probably, sorry to do this, Ilya, we're somewhere in Vegas. If it's Ilya Samsonov and that's 4-0 by the end of the first period.
4!
Yeah.
And that can give you some good defensive numbers, too.
He's second in the NHL in save percentage.
But the fact that they were still in the game, like, late in the second period is just only because of Stolarz.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me get it. Like, do you think, like, are you concerned about this team here? Like, I'm getting a tone from you.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, today I woke up and I said that, like, it's not built perfectly for Craig Berube.
Yeah. You know, the one thing that does give me concern is everyone's like, they need to be this, like, defensive, you know, playoff-style team or whatever. We know they haven't scored in the playoffs in the past, but the plan has been the core four will score you out of your trouble. They'll do the scoring, let everyone else do whatever. And that plan doesn't work, and we know that. And now it's more dependent on them than ever.
Yes, ever.
It's never been more dependent on them.
Never, right. Because at least last year you had Austin, who was like a goal a game kind of guy.
Right. And Tyler Bertuzzi scored 20, and he didn't get replaced.
Right? It was always nice that you had that threat, right? And it's gone.
Yeah.
At least to start the season, it's gone.
Yeah, it hasn't been there.
You hope he can come back next week and start it up.
Yeah.
But that's no longer there.
Like, I don't think they're the 18th best offensive team in the league. I think they're a top, you know, they'll be 9th, 10th, whatever, once Austin comes back and has a hot run. And, like, they're not going to get shut out every night. This team is decent offensively because of that core, but you just don't want to only need 4 guys to score. It was like, okay, Nyes is coming along.
Yeah.
And part of this, Kip, if not to go on too long a rant, but I've been thinking about this for 2 days now, is I think for McMahon and Robertson as 2 guys who are supposed to take an offensive step, telling them that they're the dump it in guys doesn't help them. That's not who McMahon is.
And Max Domi has lost some confidence.
He doesn't look like he did. This is the longest he's gone in his NHL career.
Yeah.
Without a point.
And that's an issue too, because he's he needs to be a secondary support guy. That's where he's at his best. Come in short spurts to plug a hole here and there and find a way to kind of contribute, and that's completely dried up. And I think he's at his best when he's like ornery out there, right? Mm-hmm. Like he's just, you don't need to fight. You don't need to take bad penalties, but you just gotta be that gnat in someone's side. And he's not right now either.
He's wearing it. Like, you know, he has that chance in front of the net at the end of the second period when it's still a game. If he pokes that in,
it's a good save.
But like,
it's a game. You go into the period still in the hockey game with that goal.
You know how the amount of skill that Max Domi has in and around the net.
Yeah.
He's totally rushes that. Like, chops away at it, just like, I got to get this towards
the net.
Good
save, Sammy.
Great save. No question.
Yeah.
But, like, if he's feeling it, if he's in the flow, maybe, like, quick cut to the backhand, wait for 1 second or whatever. But he's just, you can tell that he goes back to the bench. Doer's, like, patting him on the back. It's like he is wearing it. And they just need way more from him. I know it's very easy to say 11 games, no point. They need more from them, but they need more from him.
What's tough for a guy like Domi is like he has to know that this is his chance to solidify top six opportunity on the team and not producing with someone like Mitch Marner, who's, you know, as good as he is. He probably knows that means you're probably going to play in the third line. These opportunities aren't going to be there as much, and that makes you squeeze it a little extra tight.
But if Willie and Mitch do not have the puck, mm-hmm. then they're dead in the water.
Yeah. No, it's so they, in the last five games, four of which are without Matthews, no 5-on-5 goals from the forwards, one total 5-on-5 goal. Why don't we listen to Craig Berube on the lack of 5-on-5 scoring?
Going into this game, we were pretty happy with our game. I mean, I get it. We're, you know, it's a low event games, 5-on-5, where we're checking hard. We had, you know, more offensive zone time than the other teams. And, we want to score. We want to score more 5-on-5 for sure. But at the same time, we can't sabotage the game like we did right away in the game, giving them 3-on-1 and they score. Like, that's not going to work.
I don't know that they had that much more puck possession than the other teams recently, but anyway.
So, okay. What? I'm just getting a tone from you two today.
It didn't, the roof didn't cave in last night.
No, but that's what I'm feeling like you guys think.
No. And I can recall before the season started, I think you guys had them winning the Atlantic.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Big time.
I said third. And I said that I think the first 20 games might be tough with a new system and a new philosophy. Probably I've seen signs.
Calling that a win?
No, no,
you
know,
you can call it a win. I'm not making fun of you for doing it.
I've gone two extremes because we had that start, right?
The Tampa game that we all talk about forever.
We'll talk about that game for a long time.
Yeah, so that's like...
That was like a game changer. Like, this team's in way better shape than we even thought.
Yeah.
And then they,
whatever the next few games
you want to call.
Yeah.
And then they pulled it back a little bit and started getting some momentum again. And now we're pulled back again. So not as great as we ever thought they were. And they're not anywhere near as bad as some people may feel after that shellacking last night.
I do feel like, you know, the question of are they different is like unimpeachable. They are different. Like I in my article today, I list their defensive stats. High danger chances. Last year, they were 19th in what they gave up against. This year, they're fourth. You know, rebound chances, 16th, sixth this year. Rush chances, 18th this year, fourth. Like they're way better defensively.
So those wouldn't be goalie numbers.
No, those are not goalie numbers. That's chance numbers. Yeah. And so to me, it's like they have eliminated everything from the game. There is no chances, no rushes, nothing happens, which thrilled to watch. But to me, it leaves way more up to chance. And you say, we need a good save percentage and good shooting, you know, percentage, and we'll win. And if we don't get those things, we'll lose. And that to me is just like, it turns them into every other team. There's 10 teams like that.
So the thing I ask, and I would love to know what their numbers were like that in the playoffs last year, because that playoff series last year against the Bruins, every game was 2-1 or 3-2. Like, I never was like, oh, my God, the defense tonight. The defense is an issue. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's nice to see these numbers. And, like, I really do have belief that Berube, and they've signed two legit NHL defensemen for the top four of their team with Oliver Ekman Larson and Tanev.
Yep.
But, like, you know, still comes down to it. You're going to need to score some goals.
You're going to need to score
some goals. You're going to get to the playoffs, and you're going to need somebody other than the core four to shoot one in a net in a game six when you need one.
Yeah, and I think that has to be addressed eventually externally.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, you think externally.
Yeah.
But
last year in the playoffs, their defensive numbers were excellent.
Yeah, outstanding.
Excellent, yeah. So everything except rush chances against.
Yeah.
They gave up a ton of those.
But, like, there's no – for you're mentioning, like, the external help. There's not a ton of stuff coming here. We mentioned this with Gord yesterday, but now with, you know, my Pat Treddy, you guys are joking about him, but him being out for a while, probably a month.
Yeah.
A little longer, like, don't know.
Well, I don't underestimate taking a guy like that where he was in his game.
Great third line
and hitting. And,
no, for
and
sure. But, like, he's just a legit.
What he did for John Tavares, too.
Yeah, legit NHL body. And then no Matthews, so whenever Matthews comes back. But, like, outside of those two guys, where is the help coming from?
Like Yarny?
No, there isn't.
There's none.
They got to go outside.
Steve's. That's what I mean. It's like, is Steve's going to come in here and start shooting him in the net for you?
Yeah.
Maybe he'll get one or two, but,
yeah, but that's not
you got to go out.
You're talking about playoffs, right? You're looking at a bigger.
Yeah.
So. The one thing, and I agree with you, like the blue line is better on a whole, but like I'm watching a very quick, fast Ottawa blue line led by Jake Sanderson.
Oh my God.
And I'm
so
going.
Good. He's so good.
The blue and white team, they don't have one of those.
Yeah.
Okay. And Morgan last night, tough game, right? He needs to be the closest thing to a pacer on that blue line for the Leafs as Jake Sanderson sets the pace when he's on the ice for the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah.
No, and like they looked slow. They looked.
I agree.
Quick. That blue line looked fast and quick, and the Leaf blue line could not keep up.
Yeah, I don't worry about the Leafs. I do worry about their overall speed. Today, Sammy was talking about Lars Eller before we got on the air, and he says that'd be nice for the Leafs, right? A third line center like that.
Yeah.
But to me, that's more of what they have. That's a big, slower, older guy who is like Pacioretty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pacioretty, stylistically.
You'll see where others are. You know, Nielsen and the Island. Brock Nelson.
Yeah.
Dvorak. Christian Dvorak, I think, is in his last year of his deal in Montreal. We'll see where that is. But there's going to be guys like that around that might be a little younger, too. And there's going to be depth guys like that available. You probably would have hoped that you could wait till like January or February.
But why? Why not?
Well, now you might be forced to push a little harder because, again, you want separation in your division. You don't want to be one of those mid teams, a couple of games above 500 or at 500 or a couple of games below 500.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's real easy to have seen would they win three or four in a row there against like non-playoff teams and get excited. But, you know, the standards and expectations for the year are, okay, you know, how's it shaping up for playoffs? And you should beat those teams.
I like how you lumped Boston into the non-playoff teams there. Big fan of that.
I think they look.
What do you think?
And Lindholm's out some weeks.
Yeah.
So the Leafs are at what, 20 points right now?
Right? Yes.
Like, where are they if Stolarz has not been one of the best goalies on the planet?
But he's on the team. They signed. Like,
right?
Teams get good. Where are the Rangers without Sturgeon,
hey, I'll tell you where.
You get good goalie.
In the toilet.
Yeah, that's what
in
I mean, though.
In the toilet.
But I hate this argument. Like, they went out there, they got a good goalie, they made a signing. You're allowed to get good goaltending. We're so used to not having it.
And Shesterkin's allowed a bad night.
Yes.
And he had one. Yep. And the Rangers have no chance of winning when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay, but goalies can go through bad stretches, too.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't want to be the team that just masks, are you really as good as you think you are, or are you just a guy that just gets good goaltending because Sam says you're part of the team and you have to stand on your head?
Well, you don't have to stand on your head, but like the Leafs have not gotten good goaltending here for a few years.
And now they are. But if, you know, if Stolarz with no prior history of being a guy that can sustain a high level and they continue to kind of be who they are right now, then this team's in a dogfight to make the playoffs, maybe.
You know, I'm looking at this roster and I'm saying, so yeah, I mean, he's been very good and I expect them to have at least averaged a good goaltending this year. To me, the problem is not speed necessarily. It's can Craig Berube adjust the way he wants to do this? Can he say, all right, Mitch and Willie, you guys need to handle the puck and go lateral. Hey, Bobby McMahon, you're not Steven Lorenz. You have different standards than Steven Lorenz. Or is he just going to say,
I think
they wanted it more than us. Get a puck to the net with traffic, get rebounds.
I think that's just his way of getting out of the thing as fast as he can.
Yeah, I think he hates it.
I think behind the scenes, he's trying to do what you're saying.
Yeah.
I do. I don't think for one second he's saying, you know, whether you're Willie Nylander, Mitch Marner, or Nick Robertson or Bobby McMahon, you get the red line, you dump it in.
Yeah. Nick Robertson.
The reason why Willie made the turnover on the first goal is because he knows he's supposed to carry it in at times, right? And I don't think that's ever going to change, but it just, some nights it doesn't look good.
It does feel bleak though when you look at the bottom six, and it's like, if Robertson and McMahon don't end up being contributors, then boy, who's going to score? Connor Dewar, first game back, we'll give him some runway before we judge him. But you know, could not have been farther from the hockey puck last night.
Who could have predicted that a line of Connor Dewar, Pontus Holmberg, and Nick Robertson wouldn't have worked?
I think
who could have seen that coming?
But sometimes you're left with three pieces of the IKEA table and the table's built and you go, I don't know.
Okay.
You know, like you just,
here's
that's your lineup. Here's
the other one here.
Because
they're going into Washington. This will be their fifth back-to-back.
Yeah.
Leave the game last night. Sit at customs for 45 minutes, land in Buffalo, another 45 minutes to 50 minutes from BWI to the hotel, 2:30, 3 a.m.
To Washington, you mean?
In Washington. Yeah,
you
sorry.
Said Buffalo, yeah.
No. BWI is, I think, Baltimore, Washington.
Oh, I was like, do they got to take a connecting flight? What's going on?
and, they've had the hardest training camp and have asked to be hard in practice.
Hardest team Max Pacioretty's ever been around.
Four games in six days. And
But these are real things.
I can't believe this. It's not a built-in excuse.
Oh my.
But thank you, JB.
These are real. They physically affect you.
Running a marathon is harder than running. Are you making an excuse for the Leafs? Last night they looked like, I got nothing left.
We were at that morning skate yesterday. I was saying that. And it was like, Willie went out there with Huck and Paw and Myers and Steves. You know, everyone else is like, thanks. Right. I'm having waffles at home.
Yeah.
I'm coming in for this.
And they've been asked to play a new style of play that's got Austin hurt, that got Pacioretty hurt, and probably a few other ones with bumps and bruises. I told you guys this. We're going to see guys hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming.
And I think, you know, one of the things that we said, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, was like 82 games in the style of Berube's choosing is, it's just guys who can't do it. You can't play like it's the playoffs 82 times. You cannot.
The three eggs they've laid this year have been pretty phenomenal ones.
Like full nights off. Like just dress the Marlies.
Under Keefe, they used to like make a fake comeback.
For sure, the fake comeback.
Right? They used to do that.
In the article. Remember?
Fake comeback.
They did. They used to score like 2 or 3.
They're down 5 to Columbus in the third. Yeah. And they went to overtime.
Like,
last night, they were just like,
but like, think about the ones, like the Columbus one, which was so bad. The Blues one at home. And then this one. Those are three pretty phenomenal eggs early in the season.
And when they look good, they look
so good. So good.
So knowing the Leafs that we know them now, they'll find a way to win tonight.
I don't know. I would never bet against the same old Leafs.
Maybe you're right, but I wouldn't bet against it.
I wouldn't. So I was broken by that little stretch where it was like, they laid an egg. Watch tonight how good they are, and then they laid another egg, and I was like, they did
the back to back eggs.
Yeah.
It was Columbus into St. Louis at home.
Yes, I was like, they didn't used to bounce back pretty well.
a big night for Joseph Woll.
Tonight?
Yeah, don't you
think? I think so, yeah. First semi-hiccup, like, I guess, for Stolarz, but not really. He was still really good.
Are we on the same page that for the Leafs to win tonight, he has to be first or second star?
Yep.
Has to be.
Yep.
I really like the idea of how many bodies can you turn over in this lineup? Like, who's available that you can get in?
Anyone.
Yeah, Steves, Myers, Hockenpah, like as many fresh bodies as you can. And then, yeah, you're going to have to rely on the power play a little bit and get good goaltending. Because 5-on-5, it's not there.
Great goaltending.
And if Joseph Woll plays really well tonight, still Anthony Stolarz Saturday night against Connor McDavid and the Oilers?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Okay. I completely.
Stolarz is the man.
Agree wholeheartedly.
Like for him to have that effort last night and keep it relatively sane in terms of what the score looked like at the end of it.
Yeah.
This guy's it, man. Mm-hmm. He's it.
Yeah. Okay. Just making sure. We are doing a Sports Talk radio show. I thought I should ask the question.
Okay.
We should go. Standard's okay. Coming up.
Let's take a quick break. When we return, Craig Simpson, former National Hockey Leaguer, Stanley Cup champion, Hockey Night in Canada, will join us. And then at the top of the hour, Jason York, co-host of Coming In Hot, the Sens podcast. Oh, he's just going to rub it into Sammy, isn't he? For his Sens beating on the Leafs.
I was impressed last night by the Sens.
Yeah.
They look good. What can I say?
All right. And also, Ferraro is going to join us, son of Ray. Mm. He's doing a good job on Sportsnet as an analyst as well. So plenty more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. It's the Leaf Hour edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Okay, let's welcome him in. Former NHLer, two-time Stanley Cup champion, Craig Simpson. Hey, Simmer, how are you, pal?
I'm great, guys. Hey, you're obviously not able to watch the show because I'm in Washington. I'm just wondering, I could just picture how sullen and dejected Sammy would be looking on that right side. You guys were kind of piling on, and he felt like he was just getting lower and lower.
I said, the roof's not falling in, Sammy. But there are some red flags, Simmer, in terms of some concerns. I know last week it was the power play and that kind of got straightened out, right. But this 5-on-5 thing, scoring goals without a power play or a shorthanded goal, that seems to be an issue right now with this hockey club.
Yeah, there's no question there's a few leaks in the foundation that you got to patch up. And isn't that, though, the journey of every season? It seems like you have one issue that's there, and you mentioned it looked like the power play just had no confidence and nothing going well at all. And then they rhyme off, four straight games with looking like the power play of old. So, you know, you go through the little blips in your season where all of a sudden things dry up and they expose some of the weaknesses you had. And listening to you guys, I think you're right. I mean, the exposure is something that has plagued them, that secondary scoring and that push from another body other than, you know, three guys that you rely upon or four guys that you rely upon. And that is becoming a problem in this little stretch. And, you know, I listened to, in fact, you said Steves gets called up. I go, there's a situation where you can't just continue to throw out the lineup that's been out there. You've got absolutely nothing from Holmberg. You've got nothing from Kampf. You've got nothing from McMahon, nothing from Robertson in that stretch. Max having his struggles. So, yeah, a guy who has 9 goals and 12 points in 10 games in the minors, you have to send that message. And that's really important for the Marlies as well to know, hey, if I go down and have an impact there, I might get a chance and maybe I can come up and contribute. But there's no question that it's really been their demise early on here. There's no offensive push from anybody other than the top three guys.
Yeah, Simmer, to that point, like last year they led the NHL in 5-on-5 goals. And over the last 4 years combined, they have led the NHL in 5-on-5 goals. But they haven't won. And so have those playoff failures, have they taught them the right lessons here where now they're saying, okay, we don't want to be that team anymore. We want to be a low event team. But it almost feels like it's kind of taken away the thing that made them elite.
Yeah, and the low event is one, okay, you know, can you play these tight games that maybe you have to protect a one-goal lead? And can you play a disciplined and structured game to not be leaking, you know, at the most critical times? I go back to the games you're talking about. And in the playoff winner-take-all games, you know, the last six times that they've been in what's a game seven or the one-year game five, they've been outscored 22-8. They've scored 8 goals in those critical moments in 6 games. And that's the telltale sign. I agree with you. Last year, I don't know if it was Sammy who was talking about it, was defensively, they were a much better team. They had really good structure. You know, they were solid in their own end. But it comes down to, again, another one-goal game that you can't get the goal. And I do think that's what happens when, you know, who's going to be your hero of the night. And often in those kind of big games, it's not always the Matthews or Marner or the top guys. It's somebody like a Robertson, like a McMahon. You know, that's where you got to find that offense that hasn't been happening. And this is just a little microcosm of that, I think, that, you know, look at the dry spells of those critical guys who are hopefully coming into this year going to give you a little bit more balance. And, you know, part of it is, I think, learning to play a bit of a different system. I do think they're a little confused at times that, you know, the things that they did instinctively well, like curl back in the offensive zone, cycle up top, have puck control, you know, take it low, take it high, but don't throw it away quickly. You kind of get some mixed messages that, you know, I want you to get it in. I want to get in on the forecheck. I want to get in on the body and start hitting their defense. You know, that's easy to say, but if you're not really all that familiar in how to play that way, it can take some time. And I think you're seeing a few stumbles around that because of it.
Simmer, did you ever play for a coach that asked you to play in a way that you didn't naturally play? And if so, how did you handle that?
Yeah, I think every coach tries to push you and challenge you. I kind of laugh at that because when I, you know, went to Edmonton and get put on a line with two Hall of Famers, Mark Messier and Glenn Anderson, the joke for me was, Simmer, I don't ever want to see you carrying the puck. And so, even my teammates would laugh about it because I learned and said, come back deep in our end. You've got to win the battle along the boards when the D-band pinches down. And I get Mess the puck. I get Andy the puck on the other side. And then I can use my skills that I needed to come in late, find the, you know, the lanes that are opening up, because those guys create so much havoc. And I think I talked to you guys before, you know, about for Matthew Nyes, that's the way you got to learn how to play with those guys. Deliver it to them and then be effective getting open and playing the game that you need to play to complement them. So I think in some ways, for me, it was like I got to learn how to play to fit best with those types of players. And it didn't take long, but you get reminded. And, you know, sometimes I'd come back to the bench and say, Simmer, that's not what we want you to do. You know, you got pride as a player. You want to be carrying the puck and dangling through, but that's not what was needed of me. So a little bit different messaging, obviously, with the way that Craig does it, too. And I think that takes a little bit of getting used to as well. You know, are you a little bit intimidated, or you think he's mad at you? Does that affect you at all? I think you've got to just know the messaging is going to be in that way. Absorb it the best you can, and you got to find a way to contribute and find a way to get your game to a level that you can be relied upon to be in the lineup each and every night. And I think there's a few guys that haven't quite got to that point yet.
We're talking to Craig Simpson, who'll call the game out of Washington tonight as the Capitals go against the Toronto Maple Leafs on Sportsnet. And Simmer, we know that there's that team concept and the team philosophy, but there are different rules for different players, and we cannot expect Willie Nylander to simply dump a puck in, or Mitch Marner dump a puck in, like we would see a David Kampf or a Ryan Reeves. But, you know, when it doesn't go right, Simmer, and you've played some, you know, for some tough coaches, and when we start getting the looks of a Craig Berube giving it to a few guys, and we've seen it probably on a few occasions with Willie Nylander, like how much can you get away with it? And how much do you have to be conscientious of not overdoing it as a coach with a star player? Because as we don't know, there are different boundaries for each and every one of us, even though we're all trying to play the same way.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I think you mentioned it earlier, every star player, Mario, Wayne, Mess, you name, Connor McDavid, probably leads the league in turnovers, right? Like, they've got the damn puck all the time, and they've got all guys around them. So you've got to live a little bit with their creativity and the license to be creative and know that there's going to be the times where they're not all that great with the puck. And I do think that's an important balance for a coach when you do have those kind of skilled players. And, you know, every coach has a shelf life because of that personality that can, you know, rub guys the wrong way or not. And Craig, I think what you have to accept as a player is you're going to get a more direct and unfiltered message from him than maybe you would have from Sheldon or maybe you from any coach you've ever had. So part of the challenge of that is to really understand that inherently going into the game and say, you can't be afraid to be a player out there. You've got to, if I'm William Nylander, I know what my skill set is, but I also have to accept that when I do have something that goes wrong or I'm not playing a solid game and I do turn the puck over, I have to be ready that I'm going to hear different messaging. And that might be easy for some guys. I kind of think Willie can handle that and understand that. But for other guys, as you've probably seen, Nick, on the bench, it can really rattle them. And that is really going to be Craig's challenge to say, you know, what are the 21 individuals that I have to coach here? And some I might have to coddle a little bit. I'm not sure that's part of his, you know, way of coaching. But I think it's realistic when you have different personalities that handle those stressors differently. And, like, what do you say to a guy like Max Domi right now? And I look, you guys talked about his body language going to the bench. You know, there's nothing worse than when your confidence is down and it's like you don't want the puck. You almost want to be invisible sometimes. And it's a real physical thing that you have to overcome as a player. So, you know, maybe the coach has to take a little different tack right now. You might have been tough on him earlier. Now you got to coddle him a little bit. Now you got to prop him up. And I think that's what will be interesting to watch and see. You know, I think Craig does it in a different way that other coaches have. But I think that's the important thing, that you have to find out what your players need from you as a coach.
And the season has to settle in, too, because you're not even a quarter of the season in here. And if Craig starts giving it to some of the guys this early and is consistent with it, Craig, we've played with guys that'll just shut right down, right?
Absolutely, and, yeah. And that is a worry, isn't it, Nick? You know, you some guys get browbeat and they just can't recover from it. And I agree. When you snap as a coach, too, you know, it makes the next time you snap a little bit less effective. You know, if there is accumulation effect of that, of saying, okay, not again, like, geez. And so I think that's one thing Craig McTavish always said, and I took a lot of that when was coaching with him. You know, you go in there and tear the paint off, you better feel that it was the right time and it was the moment that the guys needed it, and maybe they needed a little bit of a snap to attention. Because the next time I do it, they're going to go, yeah, right, you know, you just did that before. And so it becomes less and less of a changing message. And I do think there's a little bit of a worry of that, especially in-game on the bench, that, you know, the cameras pick up each and every time. Guys can get tired of that pretty quickly.
Simmer, the Leafs are one of the best teams in the league when it comes to not allowing rushes against. They're also not getting any rushes for. Last year, they used to get quite a few. When you're calling these games, are you seeing something different in the way they break the puck out, or the way, you know, I guess it just feels like their coach has them a little more tightly tethered to their own net, and that's resulting in those two things?
Yeah, you know, I've been trying to be conscious of that, because as Nick was just saying, it's so early in the season, you're going, geez, you know, I'm not really seeing a whole lot of transformational difference in the way that they're playing, but I listened to the underlying the stats, and I do think that defensively was definitely something that they wanted to key on and, you know, be predictable, be reliable. It helps the D men when they know exactly where everyone's going to be. Guys aren't flowing the zone. You know, it's not that offside winger taking off as soon as it looks like you're going to get control. So in that regard, yes, I don't think, you know, it's an overriding fundamental difference in their game. But it is kind of shocking that you're not getting those odd man rushes and you're not getting that quick transition. When I think of the Leafs when they played really well because of the skill set that they have, you know, play good defensive, be tight on the line, create an offensive or a defensive zone turnover by your opponent, and bang, you're back the other way in transition and you're catching them and you're getting odd man rushes. If anything, Justin, I don't think I've seen nearly as much of that. And I'm not sure if that's structure or guys trying to be back a little further or wait and not, but that's something to watch. If that's an early trend, I'd be a little concerned, because I do think it was really one of their good strengths to be a quick attack transition team, and that hasn't seemed to have been happening in the early going.
Hey, Simmer, Ron McLean and the Hockey Night in Canada crew did a terrific job of giving your mom a tribute Saturday night. Of course, we lost Marion Simpson, who died peacefully last week, and our condolences to you and Christine and Dave, and I know the Hockey Mom Union's a little lighter today, unfortunately.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Nick. You know, we all, seeing your mom, dementia is such a difficult thing to deal with. So in so many ways, you know, you feel heartfelt that her tough journey is over. But, man, I wouldn't have been able to do, my brother wouldn't have been able to get to where he did from an athletic standpoint without her support. And just like all of our moms, just love her dearly, and we're going to miss her. And I really appreciate everybody's kind comments. It's been really soothing for the family. Appreciate it.
Have a great call tonight, Craig. Looking forward to it.
Okay, guys, take care.
Thanks a lot, Simmer.
That is Craig Simpson.
I mean, what a matriarch of a great hockey family between Craig.
And yours, too, because I got to meet your mom.
Yeah. Got to meet mom in the building. Yeah.
Oh, you guys did get to meet?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, good.
We had a full tour here. Had my brother, sister-in-law, mom here.
Your mom gave me a hug, and it was the nicest thing ever. She's got to feel like I know you.
Well,
like,
she tunes in. She
just one thing on my heart. On Berube, and that is that, like, you got to understand, too, every time he says, well, I wasn't really here last year, right?
Yeah.
But he got enough information to know that at times the feeling was Sheldon didn't hold the players accountable.
Yeah.
So without even knowing the whole story, he's coming a little bit locked and loaded.
Yeah, that bugs me. That bugs
right?
me.
It does bother you?
Year. Yeah. It's like, well, the job is to know what's been the problem. You're the fix-it guy. You need the diagnosis before you can start fixing.
Yeah, I could see that. But it is good cop, bad cop. Mm-hmm. Like, Sheldon, too soft. Mm-hmm. Now Craig comes in and it's like, nope, we're up 4-1. I'm giving you crap. We're down 4-1. You're getting crap anyways. And it's like, he's just, after 20 games, 15, 20 games, he's going to have to really settle in, as Craig said, and pick your spots.
You know, if Craig's sitting here and he's on this mic hearing you say that, he would say, when he starts doing what I ask him, I'll stop yelling at him. You know, like, just stop doing dumb stuff and it'd be that easy.
How do you think we got Sammy to wear this spot today?
It's just a
guy. Let's take time to break.
I have not said anything smart for 4 years and I'm still here, so... I'm coachable, though, boys.
So,
what?
Ovi and Washington for real here?
Ovi, most goals against the Maple Leafs amongst active players. Number one, Ovechkin with 44 goals against the Toronto Maple Leafs.
In how many games?
The next closest is Sidney Crosby. I don't have how many games.
Oh, they don't.
But I didn't put that on the lineup. I just put how many he has. Sidney Crosby, 29. Evgeny Malkin, 24. Steven Stamkos, 23. Claude Giroux, 21. So basically, if you were like a star during the 2010s,
the East,
you lit up the Leafs.
44 talks.
It's a lot.
One franchise.
Yeah, that's a good. That's a really good season for someone. He's got that against the Leafs.
Gotten younger on us. In what? 3 months? 4 months?
I don't know. The voice of God, a.k.a. Jake the Snake, says he has 44 goals in 59 games.
Oh!
That's not a bad
59
run.
59 games.
Not a bad run.
Yeesh.
And you know who's been real good, too, is that Dylan Strome.
Yep, and McMichael.
You know what kind of pace Dylan Strome's on right now? 129 points.
That's a RNH 100-point-year type pace. Like, what?
Do not go away. We go national next on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show.